Well, this morning we continue our conference started yesterday. The subject of this conference is concerning the world situation and God's move and the Lord's move. And this was covered 2 weeks ago, 2 weekends ago in Anaheim as a special conference to meet a particular need. As you know that in the past 30-some years, that conference held during that time was an international Chinese-speaking conference. But this particular year, 2 weeks ago, we called that a special conference, and it was conducted not just in Chinese, but it's a combination of Chinese and English. The first three meetings were conducted in Chinese, and then the last two meetings were conducted in English. The purpose of that was because of an urgent need of the world situation, the changing world situation, and the Lord's present move on the earth. And we felt the need to widen the scope to be able to release this word not only to among the Chinese speakers, but to all the saints. That's why we had that conference in that way. And indeed, this matter is an urgent matter, is an urgent burden for us to review what is the world situation today. As we mentioned last night, the last time that Brother Lee spoke on this matter was in 1991. That's over 26 years ago. And that was in response to a changing world situation. At that time, the Iron Curtain came down in the former Soviet Union, and there was something rose up, I believe it was one morning when Brother Lee was early morning, that the Lord woke him up and for him to consider the world situation then he realized that we need to respond to the world situation. And he right away called a meeting with the co-workers, and then he called for an urgent conference that was in Memorial Day time, and that weekend to release that burden concerning the world situation and the direction of the Lord's move, which were the messages printed in the book published in 1991. And so, as I mentioned, that in the last 20-some years, the world has again changed so much. The world situation has changed so rapidly and so drastically, and much more so than the previous 50 years. And we who are in the Lord's recovery, we need to be aware of the world situation. We should not be as the ostriches, just stick our head under the sand as if everything is all right. You know, we are in the best place. Everything will be okay. And dear saints, it's not like this. Even as the Lord himself, he charged us, we need to know the times, right? As the people can discern the weather by looking at the sky, we as God's people, we should know what age we live in, and we should respond accordingly. And I always love that verse in Jeremiah 8:7, which God told through Jeremiah, reminded his people that even as the stork, as the turtle doves, in this, they know the season. They adapt themselves to the change in climate, and they move. But he said, but my people do not know. In other words, God's people were ignorant. They were not even as smart as the birds. You know, the birds know something is happening, and they need to do something to respond to that. But somehow, with God's people, we are not, it seems that we are not so sensitive, not so vigilant concerning the world situation. I mean, there people in the world knows the end of the world is coming close, right? It is true from all angles, from all the signs, from the from the political scene and from the ecological scene, from many angles, we there's no other no other way but to realize that surely the Lord is coming soon, much sooner than many people realize. But to know, to consider, to realize that the Lord's coming soon is one thing. But to have a readiness, to have a kind of response to this kind of realization is another thing. So not only the Lord is coming soon, but the world is changing, has changed so much. How can we not have an awareness and to take a certain position? Brother Lee did. I mean, for him to, I think that move to Russia was quite drastic, and nearly it was just a last moment of time, and he just was touched one morning by the Lord. He got a lot of revelation, a lot of speaking by the Lord in early morning times. You know, it's good. Sometimes I did too. Sometimes you just got woken up four or 5 o'clock in the morning, and then suddenly you got some very fresh speaking from the Lord, and that's what happened to Brother Lee then, and he called that conference, and now there it is. The Lord had a move, and we just finished the first term of training. I mean, first batch of graduation of the full-time trainees in 1991. We started in 1989, and there were over a little 30 trainees who were able to respond to this call and went to Russia at that time in the dead of winter, not in the springtime, but in the dead of winter. And we went there and began to preach the gospel, and many of you know. And now, praise the Lord, 25 years later, there are 190 churches in Russia.
Hallelujah.
In the former Soviet Union. Dear saints, this was because a man who was not for himself, he was beside himself. He responded to the world-changing world situation and heeding to the Spirit's call and bringing about this move of the Lord in the former Soviet Union. It was a great move. Now close to 5,000 saints meeting in that whole region, which is a glory to the Lord. And now, in a blink of an eye, it's already 25, 26 years. And of course, we don't have a Brother Lee with us like we had him then, but we have Brother Wee, right? We have Brother Wee here with us, all of us. We are here, and we have all the publication of the ministry with us. And how can I recommend it to you all? Last night, you should read those two books published in 1981, The World Situation and God's Move. That was given in 1981, and the second one was in 1991, The World Situation and the Direction of the Lord's Move. And I feel in today's particular climate, these two books are must-reads for all of the saints in the Lord's recovery. Amen. So to get up to date on the current situation, although on the one hand, you may say, those messages were given 30 years ago, 20-some years ago. But in many ways, Brother Lee's insight and foresight then is still very much applicable today. You just apply some adjustments, some changes, but essentially what he laid out according to his foresight, is still very much applicable today. Amen. So I hope that through this speaking, the Lord will to awaken us, to alert us, that we are living in a very special time. I am very happy I'm born in this age. I'm living today. I'm not living 500 years ago. I'm living today. Brother Jim, are you happy you're here in this age? We're living in the age of all the ages. You know, under the ministry of the age, under the vision of the age. And we have, many of us may have a very good chance to see the Lord coming back. We don't know. We are not here to predict. We are not here to foretell in any way. But I think in our spirit, we really have this registration is very close. But how close? Only the Father knows. But our responsibility is that we need to know the times and we need to act accordingly, prudently, and to move in oneness with the Lord. This conference has a banner. I don't know whether it's in your outline, in a package given to you. If you have that with you, can we all read it together? Yes. It's the banner, okay, which actually is one long sentence, basically embodying all five messages right here in this banner. Okay, let's all read that together. We need to know this age and the present truth, and see a vision of God's sovereignty, the world's ultimate situation, and God's ultimate recovery. Long sentence, but it's a wonderful sentence that embodies all the five messages. This banner touches on two knowings. We need to know, number one, this age, and number two, we need to know the present truth, right? We need to know what kind of times we are living in, both in the physical sense and also in the spiritual sense. What is the spiritual age that we are in? The religious age that we are in? The shortage, the negligence of the truth. And this is the age that we are in. We need to know this age and also to know the present truth. Not just the general truth, not just know the truth in a general way, but the present truth. The Apostle Peter mentioned this. We need to know God's truth for today, for the present time. God's truth in the last thousands of years, it has been progressive. All the truths are in the Bible. They're all there in the Bible. No one can add to it. No one can take away from it. However, the unveiling of these truths are progressive. It's progressive. 500 years ago, through Martin Luther, the truth of justification by faith was not invented. It was discovered. It has been there for ages. But Martin Luther was just an instrument to uncover, to unearth that hidden truth. And then, as time progresses, God used other seekers, other servants of His, to recover, to unveil other truths concerning Christ as life, as the indwelling Christ within us. And He is our holiness, our sanctification, our victorious life, so on and so forth. In many aspects, all those truths which have been there in the Bible and now progressively in time, at the right time, a certain truth was unveiled. And now in the 21st century now, what is God's truth for this age? God's truth is for this age is no longer just justification by faith. That is a truth, but that was a truth that is the God's truth for that age, 500 years ago, at the time of Luther. Today, if we only still announce that truth, we would be out of date. That truth will not meet the need of this generation. In this particular time, the unveiling of the truth progressing, and is cumulative. We are standing upon all the truths that have been unveiled before in a cumulative way, now standing upon the shoulders of the ones who have gone before. Now we are reaching to a particular time that God wants us to speak a message to this age. This is the present truth. So, like I read to you last night on Brother Nee's word, what are we? He told us we need to speak the miscellaneous truths less. We need to emphasize the central truth more, particularly concerning Christ being the centrality, the universality of God in God's central purpose. So there should be a discernment within us. Not all the truths are on the same level. Not all the truths are able to meet the need of a particular age. If today we still preach the same truth 500 years ago, there will not be the same kind of response in God's people. Within God's people today, when you speak about God, Christ, the all-inclusive, extensive Christ, as the centrality and the universality to build up his body, to consummate the New Jerusalem, there is a response in man's heart. There is something within man longing to hear the message of God in this age. We need to know today's age and to know the present truth, the truth that will meet God's need for this point in time. And we need also to see three things. We need to see a vision of God's sovereignty, number one, and also a vision of the world's ultimate situation, number two, and also God's ultimate recovery, number three. We need to see these three things. God is a sovereign one on the throne, administrating over the whole world situation. Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the ruler over all the kings of the earth. Not Putin, not Trump, not any premier, not any president, but Jesus the King.
Amen.
He is the one administrating over the whole world affairs. God is sovereign. Who should be in the office? Who should not be in the office? God is sovereign. We have to know, we have to see God's sovereignty. There is a throne in the universe. Nebuchadnezzar learned that in a hard way, right? And he became proud. He thought he was the greatest man at the time. Everything was under his feet. But then God told him, no, you are put there for my purpose. Don't be so proud. One day you're going to eat grass, right?
That's right.
You're going to eat grass, and at that time you will know the heaven rules. The heavens rule, not you, Nebuchadnezzar. You were just raised up by me for a particular time to meet a particular purpose. And so you have to recognize the heavens rule. There is a throne in the heavens. It is dangerous for anyone trying to be proud, trying to think that he is somebody, he is in control of everything. That would be the most foolish of men. The heavens rule. There is a throne in the heavens. We need to see also the world's ultimate situation. right? The church, the world changed so much, and in especially the raising up of America, the United States, as a young country, but yet in a short period of less than 300 years, now rose to be in the position of the leadership in every aspect. And that is a miracle. That is only something could be done by the sovereign God, right? And not China, not Russia, not Great Britain, but USA Today was placed by God in a particularly important position. There is an ultimate situation, and also there is an ultimate recovery. The Lord has been recovering, actually, since the degradation. Recovery has been going on. Of course, at the time of Luther, that recovery took on a very speedy, dramatic step taken by Luther. And that recovery has been going on, and today we are in an ultimate stage of this recovery. We call this the ultimate recovery. It's more than just preaching the gospel, getting souls saved, more than just teaching the Bible, helping people to understand the Bible better, or just to have proper meetings of Christians. All these have been recovered, but still, there is still more to be recovered. In this ultimate stage, in this ultimate move of God to recover us to the living out of Christ, to be our testimony, that we would be indeed the body of Christ, not just in term, but in reality, the body of Christ, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. We must be those who are filled with Christ, saturated and permeated with Christ, and we would live Christ in our daily life, in our church life, personally, corporately, so that he can be expressed through us. This is God's message for us today. Amen. And by means of what? There are two means. For a purpose of fulfilling our ultimate responsibility in God's ultimate move. So by our knowing, by our seeing, we would come to the point that we are able to fulfill our responsibility in God's move by two means. By number one, honoring the Lord as the head, and by being balanced by the body. Christ is the head, and the church is his body. The head, he is the one heading us up in everything. He is the Lord. He is the head of the body. Every move, every action needs to be under his headship. And also, we need to be balanced by the body. We are not, and we should not, be acting as individual Christians. You are fervent for the Lord to do this, and I'm fervent for the Lord to do that. Not that kind of an individualistic, separate way, but we have to recognize that we are members of the body. Amen. Right? And we need to be balanced by the body. We are just like a human body, so many members. My hand cannot do something just independently without concern, without connection or circulation with the other parts of the body. So everything that is being carried out must be under the headship of Christ and also being connected, balanced by the body. And under one condition, the condition is for us to be kept in the unique oneness. Amen. I feel this is a marvelous sentence, giving us an all-inclusive view of the burden of this conference. Now, we come to message four. I will touch message five also a little bit. We just don't have the time. But the focus of my fellowship this morning will be message four. Bearing the ultimate responsibility in God's ultimate move. Number one, let's all read number one together.
We need to bear the ultimate responsibility related to the world's ultimate
Here it says, we need to bear. Who are the we? Who are the we? The co-workers, the elders, responsible ones. We, that means you. You should read it as, I have to bear. Me, every saint, every member of the body of Christ has to bear this responsibility. It's not just the co-workers who travel, who work for the Lord, not just the leading ones in the churches bearing responsibility, but we imply include all of us, all the saints. As members of the body of Christ, we have to bear this responsibility together. We don't agree with any kind of hierarchical system. Only certain ones, certain class, can do certain thing. In the body of Christ, we see that we are all members one of another. Here, the life of Christ is circulating within us. As the Spirit, we are sharing, we are circulating the same life within us. When there is this burden of the Lord's move, it's not just the so-called the top part of this organization. They plan, they organize, they would do something. But the whole body moves. The whole body moves. We all can play a little part. We cannot do everything. But every member can do something, can do can have a little share, a little part in God's ultimate move. So the we here implies all of us, each and every one of us, need to bear this ultimate responsibility. It says our ultimate responsibility is to be saturated and permeated with Christ, for the church as the body of Christ, the one new man. This is our ultimate responsibility. Many times when we come to talk about God's move, we may think about the outward situation, doing something in an outward sense to organize some kind of action, some kind of some activities. Well, yes, God's move may involve something like that. But be assured, the central part of God's move is not the activities. It's not all the doings. The central part of God's move is for Christ to fill us, amen, to saturate us, to permeate us. If we merely plan a lot of activities, going here, going there, doing this, doing that, yet Christ does not increase in us, all those activities are vain, are empty. They are just a kind of a movement. God has no interest in carrying out movements. In this ultimate move of God, He wants this Christ to fill us. Christ must be dispensed, must move into us, must build His home in our hearts. He must saturate us. He must permeate us. Amen. I look up in the dictionary just to, you know, look up the word for saturate. I found it's very interesting. The word saturate means to cause a substance to unite with the greatest possible amount of another substance. To cause a substance to unite with the greatest amount possible of another substance, amen, through solution, chemical combination, or the like.
Amen.
Our substance is humanity. There's another substance, the divinity.
Hallelujah.
This substance needs to be united with that substance to the greatest amount possible, so that they can be brought together. This divinity, the divine substance, can saturate, can be brought into the human substance through some kind of solution. We know what that solution is. The Spirit. Amen. He is the solution. Amen. The flowing triune God. Amen. Flowing into us to bring the triune God in all that He is into us to unite with us. Then now today we can say, we don't just have one substance. We have another substance being brought to us, united with us. God desires to saturate us. Amen. To the maximum possible amount. Amen. How about every morning we pray this, Lord, some more saturation. Amen. Today. Amen. Let the saturation reach the maximum amount. How about permeate? Permeate means to pass into and through every point. There is a penetration. There is the passing through. Not only the one substance being brought to, being united to, united with another substance, but there is a penetration. There is a passing through. Passing into, there is that aspect of the depth. Saturation, Brother Lee did express it utter this way, the saturation horizontally and permeation vertically. That's how he expressed. And it's true. We need the Lord to, Christ to saturate us, to be brought his substance, to be brought to into our substance to the maximum possible amount. Right. And also there needs to be the permeation to for God to pass into us and to pass through us. Every day we must allow the triune God to pass through us. Amen. As you spend time with the Lord in the morning to have your morning revival, you must allow the triune God to pass through you. Amen. He wants to not only saturate, but also permeate. Don't we have a hymn, 501, the last stanza? The Spirit will me saturate, and God with me to permeate. God wants to saturate and permeate us. Martin Luther didn't see this. He saw that man can be justified by faith. Man will no longer come under God's condemnation. And man can be righteous, can become righteous, can stand before God. That's about it. That's better than anything that was before. But now, 500 years later, there's a man who tells us that Christ wants to not only make us righteous, he wants to saturate us. Amen. The very righteousness of God, who is Christ, he does not want to just put a label on us to say, you are good, you are righteous. Now, this one who is the righteousness of God, he is coming into us to saturate us. Amen. With himself and permeate us with himself. And to make us what? Not only righteous, to make us the very righteousness of God in him. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, right? The one who knew no sin, he became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. We are not only righteous before God. We become his righteousness. Because Christ, the righteous one, the righteousness of God, has come into us to saturate and permeate us with himself. Amen. To make us, the low and mean persons, the righteousness of God. Amen. My, this is too marvelous. Little one says, we must realize the great responsibility we have regarding preaching the gospel, teaching the divine truths, and meeting according to the way ordained by God. We have the responsibility to do this. We still do. However, we should not be satisfied with these three things, for they cannot fulfill God's desire. Yes, the Lord did charge us to go to preach the gospel. We need to teach the truth. We need to come together in a proper way to express the Lord. But this is not the goal. Don't make the means the goal. This is just a process. The goal for us to fulfill His desire, we need something more. We need to still continue to do those things, but with a goal. Last November, the Lord spoke to us concerning the direction of His move, which is to build up His body, to prepare the bride, and to bring in His kingdom. This direction is more than clear. It is so clear. We are here to reach that goal, moving in this direction, to build up the body, to prepare the bride, and to bring in His kingdom. In the meantime, we need to preach the gospel, we need to teach the Bible, we need to meet in a proper way. But still, something more needed. And number two, can we read number two together? What is God's desire? God's desire is not just to save more souls. Man, the souls need to be saved, but that's not the end. God's desire, His good pleasure, is for us to live Christ and to have Christ as the reality. Christ is not just a ticket for us to go to heaven, as some Christians say. Christ wants to be our life. God did not just give us a ticket. Now you don't have to go to hell anymore. You are spared. You are approved. This very Christ, who is our Savior, He now has become a life-giving spirit. Amen. Who is enterable. He can enter into us. He desires to live in us, to dwell in us, even to make His home in us. He wants us to live Him. He wants us to possess Him in reality. What does it mean by reality? That means He is real to us in all our daily living. Not only at the time when we gather like this as the church, we surely enjoy Christ here. But how about the moment we step out into our car, we go out on the way home? Do you still enjoy Christ? Do you still have Christ in you? Christ is not only in the meeting hall. Christ is with you. Christ is in you wherever you go, whatever you do. Christ must be our reality. Even when you are sleeping, as if you're not doing anything, Christ is still in you. Amen. The moment our eyes open, we arise, we awake. Lord Jesus, I love you. He awakes with you. He sleeps with you. He will never leave you. Don't think, I'm going to sleep now, Lord, I'll park you there in the corner somewhere. I'll catch up with you again tomorrow sometime. Or some just park him there for a whole year, only once a year to pick him up. December 25th, that's the time I pick him up to go to some kind of assembly. No, Christ is in you moment by moment. Even when at the time when you don't seem to be doing anything at all, you are not praying, you are not reading the Bible, you are not engaging in any kind of spiritual activity, Christ is still in you. Amen. He wants to live in us. He wants us to live him and to have him as our reality. The real contents of the church life, making every local church a golden lampstand. Did Martin Luther see this? Absolutely not. Not belittling him. He was the minister at that age. That was what he ministered to God's people at that particular time. That was marvelous. That was the peak at that time. But he didn't see anything of Christ indwelling us. The one who justifies us, he wants to live within us. Later on, you have these mystics, like Madame Guyon. She saw something more. She saw the inner life. She saw this Christ, he lives in us. But did she see to this degree? She was pious. She was spiritual, mysterious. Yet she did not realize that this Christ, he wants to become our living, our reality, so that we can become his body. How about the brethren, the British brethren, in the early 1800s? They saw a lot of truths, many aspects of the truth. They saw the church as the ecclesia, as the called out congregation, not just a steeple in a building with a ding-dong. But God's called out people coming together. We are the ecclesia. Wonderful. But how about the church as the body of Christ, the organism of the triune God? Having Christ as the inner reality, as the real content. Dear saints, if Christ does not live in us, if we do not live Christ, we do not have him as the real content, even meeting in the local churches, we may be just in a kind of performance, carrying out a kind of routine. In this ultimate move of God, he wants all his people to live Christ, to be saturated and permeated with Christ. Not only when we come together in meetings, not only at the time that we read the Bible, we pray, but in ordinary times, we enjoy his indwelling. We live together with him in all our decision making, in all our thought processes. We allow him to penetrate, to pass through us. It is not just we who are engaging in all the practical things, as you are cooking, as you are babysitting, as you are there tending to some, you know, heavy demand at work, meeting your deadline. You are not there alone, handling them by yourself. The Lord is mingled with you. Amen. He is real to you in your office, in your kitchen, just as real as he is with you in the meeting hall. This is God's ultimate recovery. This is God's ultimate move. And this is the reality of the body of Christ. It's not just the messages. It's not just the singing. But this very indwelling Christ, he becomes the reality of our living, so that making every local church a golden lampstand. Then the body life will reach the reality of Romans 12, and this will be the spontaneous preparation of the bride for the Lord's coming back. Amen. And I will say this will also be the coming in of God's kingdom. Amen. This is the building up of the body. This will be the spontaneous preparation of the bride. This will be the coming in of God's kingdom. This is the goal of the Lord's recovery. The world situation has been prepared for this purpose. Our ultimate responsibility is to be a living witness to Christ in our daily life and to meet in our locality in such a way that we may be the body. We are not just a congregation. We are Christ's own body. just like James Lee is not just a head. You recognize my face. This is James Lee. But my body is also James Lee. Right? I cannot have the head of James Lee and the body of Ken Mooney. That would be monstrous. The body, the head is Christ, and the body must also be Christ's. If we have Christ saturating us, permeating us to such a degree, having him as our reality, as Paul declared, for me to live is Christ. Today, if this also is our testimony, is also our declaration, for us to live is Christ. It's not a Chicagoan. It's not a Californian. It's not American. It's not Japanese or Korean. For us to live is Christ. Amen. This is the body. This is not just a congregation. In the church life, there's no nationality, no races, no different, no colors, no cultures. In the church life, as the one new man, there is just Christ. No circumcision, no uncircumcision, no Jew, no Greek, but Christ who is all and in all. We have the body. If we meet in such a way, we may be the body, the new man, the lampstand, and the bride. How about, do we know the church to such an extent? Again, I ask, Brother Luther, did you see this? Did you see the church as the body, as the new man, as the lampstand, golden lampstand, as the bride? Dear saints, we are so privileged. I just feel I am so blessed to be born in this age, to be living in these days, hearing the things that we are hearing, seeing the things that we are seeing. Don't think that everybody sees this, everybody hears this. No. Among millions and millions of people, we are blessed that we can see these things, hear these things. Even our junior hires, high schoolers, they can say the church is the body of Christ, the new man, the bride. I'm afraid many Bible teachers cannot tell you this. But what is this for? This is so that we can bring this all the way to the finish line. That we would bring this baton all the way to the finish line. The baton has been passed to our hand. This marathon has been going on for the last 2,000 years. We are in the last 100-meter dash. Just a little bit more to go, dear saints. Just a little bit longer. Our race is finishing soon. We have been given everything that we need to finish our race. Amen. Finish this course. Amen. The Old Testament saints are there hurrying us, cheering us. Keep going, saints. We've been waiting here for centuries. Without you, we are not complete. We are not perfect. Don't miss the last step. Don't miss the last section. Keep running to the end. You have everything you need to run this course. Our ultimate responsibility is to bear the testimony of Jesus. This is our ultimate responsibility. Today, the Lord does not only want saved souls, saved sinners. He does not just want to have people who reads the Bible, who just meet in a kind of a proper way, according to the Bible. But he wants a testimony. Amen. What is a testimony? Testimony means an expression. Something that represents him, expresses him. The Lord does not want something only that is for him. Something good, something proper. That's not good enough. The Lord wants his expression, a testimony of himself. Number one says the book of Revelation presents the testimony of Jesus, which is the church, as the corporate expression of Christ. Revelation opens up by telling us the book of Revelation, is a revelation of Jesus Christ. This is not the revelation by Jesus Christ, but it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the unveiling of this person, this wonderful person, Christ. And then, in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, the book for this final age, it says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of this prophecy. Not only Christ is being unveiled, revealed, but also there is a group of people who are testifying him. They are called the testimony of Jesus. This is the spirit of this prophecy. Amen. And we know in the book of Revelation, there are many aspects to this testimony of Jesus. This testimony of Jesus is the golden lampstands revealed in Revelation 2 and 3. This testimony of Jesus is the great multitude of the redeemed ones. Testimony of Jesus is the universal woman with a man-child in Revelation 12. This testimony of Jesus is the first fruit, the overcomers in chapter 14. This testimony of Jesus is the overcomers standing on a sea of glass in chapter 15. This testimony of Jesus is the bride prepared in chapter 19. This testimony of Jesus is the new Jerusalem. Amen. There is the revealed Christ. There is a testifying church. The Lord desires in this end time to consummate this age, to have his testimony prevailing city by city, country by country. There is not only the revealed Christ, there is a testifying church. His reproduction, his duplication, to testify of him in this dark age. Number two says, Revelation is an unveiling of Christ, and Christ is expressed through the church. Therefore, the church is the testimony of Jesus revealed in this book. A, the living person of Jesus is the image, expression, and testimony of God. And the church today is the testimony of Jesus, his corporate expression. As believers in Christ, we all are reproductions, photographs of Jesus. Saints, you are a picture of Jesus. You are a photograph of Jesus. Christ is the image of God. The church is just the image of Christ, the expression of Christ. Now God has a corporate expression, the church, which is the testimony of Jesus, who is the expression of God. Now point C. Let's all read point C. Not only we bear this testimony, we need to spread this testimony by establishing local churches as golden lampstand. Number one, the spreading of the Lord's recovery must be considered part of our ultimate responsibility. In the Gospel of Matthew, we are familiar with at the end of the Gospel, the Lord charges disciples, go therefore. We have to go and disciple the nations. In the book of Mark, chapter 16, it also tells us the Lord charged us to go to preach the gospel to all the creation. We cannot stay home to preach. Preach to who? To the cats, to the dogs? We have to go. Amen. Go somewhere. Go out. Go to where people are. Go In the Bible, there is such a word, G-O, go. We come to God, but we go to the people. And then also in John 15, 16, the Lord says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I set you that you may go. Set you to go, to bear fruit, that your fruit may remain. So there is a divine commission for us to go, to leave our comfort zone, to leave our familiar places, to go to where people are, to bring the truth to them, to bring the gospel to them. For the universal spreading of the church as the testimony of Jesus, we need to plant church trees as golden lampstands for the corporate expression of the triune God. Although we cannot form the church, saints, we can never, no human beings is qualified to form the church. The church as the body of Christ can only be formed by the triune God. In Christ, the body came into being when the believers were baptized in one spirit, was formed by the triune God himself. However, we have the position, the right, the opportunity, and even the commission to go to the uttermost part of the earth to establish local churches. By planting church trees. We cannot form the church, but we can establish it. Amen. The body is already here. The church of God is already formed, but we need to plant it, establish it, city by city. The local churches, as church trees, are golden lampstands, which are actually living golden trees. If you look at a lampstand, it is like a tree. It's a golden tree. It's a living tree, blossoming with almonds, the buds. Every lamp is a blossoming bud. In figure, the golden lampstand signifies the church as the embodiment and the expression of the triune God. We know the golden lampstand was first mentioned in Exodus 25 in the tabernacle, signifying that is the triune God in Christ to be the testimony of God in the tabernacle. But when you come to the book of Revelation, the golden lampstands are the seven churches. So on the one hand, this golden lampstand signifies the triune God embodied in Christ, shining as a spirit. Now these golden lampstands are multiplied to be seven to signify the churches. The churches are just one with the triune God as the golden lampstand to express the triune God. We all need to establish local churches by planting church trees, golden lampstands. Again, who are the we? The apostles? Co-workers? Leading ones? Who are the we's? He should say, I am. Who are the we?
I am.
You are part of the we. I'm part of the we. We have to go to plant trees. You say, I'm not the Apostle Paul. I'm not Witness Lee. I'm not this and that. But you are part of the brother we.
That's right.
We have been given the truths. We have been given the right, the commission. Just like in the church in Jerusalem, right? In Acts. Due to persecution, all the disciples, believers, were scattered. And wherever those believers went, they just brought the word with them. And just they just spoke the word in a very organic, living way. And churches were raised up. Not only people got saved, but also local churches were established. Not by apostles, but by just believers, ordinary believers like you and me. You don't need to have some kind of a DD degree. You don't need to be ordained. You don't need to even go through the full-time training if you don't misunderstand. It's good to be trained, but that is not your requirement to establish a church. You have been given a lot. You've been in recovery listening to these messages for the last 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. It's time for us to go to plant church trees. Of course, we have a burden in this particular conference, special conference, targeting toward Europe and particularly Germany. We need to plant many church trees in Germany. Now there are 5 or 6 church trees, churches there. There are many cities in Germany. We are praying, we're looking to the Lord that in the coming days, many church trees can be planted there. But how about in Chicago area? How about in Illinois? How about in Wisconsin? How about in California, where I live? In the United States, there's still a lot of places, empty lots. Yeah. Empty lots. We need to plant some trees there, Jim. Hey. It's not by co-workers, not by leading ones, but by you and me, ordinary ones. You go there as students, you go to school, you go to work, but you're a burden. You see this commission, Lord, use me. While I'm here, just bring me to the people. Bring me to some seeking ones. Maybe a little meeting will begin. 4 or 5 of you begin to come together to study the word. And after a few months, some more may be added. And eventually, there was so much seeking, the Lord confirmed we can break bread to have the church, little church there. Maybe only 10 saints, 12 saints. Wonderful. You know the first church the Lord established among us in China, 1922, in church in Chifu, in Fuchao? How many people were there? Only 3. But those 3, they were God's representation on the earth. Amen. They were the testimony of Jesus. When those 3 broke bread, the heavens came down. The Spirit was outpoured. It was not a small thing. It's not a matter of the number. It's not a matter of the outward condition. It's about you. It's about me. What kind of persons we are. There were only 3, but they represented the testimony of Jesus in Fuchao. The church in Fuchao was there. So this is our commission. Now, number 2, in order to bear the ultimate responsibility in God's ultimate move, we need to know and experience Christ as the center of the divine administration according to God's eternal economy. If we want to bear this responsibility, we need to know and experience Christ as the center of God's divine administration. Don't forget, there is the throne in the heavens. In this universe, there is a throne of God directing, administrating every situation in our environment. And Jesus is the Lord. He has been made Lord and Christ. Amen. He is the chief administrator on the throne, carrying out God's administration. We learn to submit to Him. We learn to be one with Him. We learn to allow Him to pass through us. This one on the throne, He wants to pass through us, pass into us, pass through us. He says, all authority of heaven and earth has been given to me. And now this authority, now I pass on to you for you to go. You have been commissioned. You have the right. You have the position with the authority of the ascended Christ to establish churches, to preach the gospel, to establish churches, to be the ambassadors of Christ. We need to know and experience this Christ to the uttermost. He says, Christ in his ascension has been enthroned to execute God's administration, his governmental operation. Amen. Hebrews 12:2, many are familiar, looking away unto Jesus. That's good. Author and finisher of perfecter of our faith, that's good. But what else? He, what? Despised the shame. And he is there seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This very one who despised the shame, who bore the suffering, not only is our leader, our perfecter of our faith, but he is there on the throne. Amen. In the scene in Revelation chapter 4, the heavens open. The first thing, when John was brought into the Spirit, a throne there in the heaven. And then in chapter 5, a lamb in the midst of the elders, standing there as freshly slain. I hope the Lord will cause our eyes to be open to see there is a throne in this universe. In your personal universe, in this corporate universe, there is a throne. God's authority being represented. And there's one sitting on the throne, the Lamb of God. Amen. Even in the last, in chapter 22 of Revelation, there's a throne of God and the Lamb at the top of this mountain, the New Jerusalem. This throne governs everything. This throne controls everything. It directs everything. It is the administration, the center of God's administration. He says, Christ, as the embodiment of God, is the administrator of the universe today. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. After the Lord Jesus was crucified and buried, God resurrected him and set him at his right hand, making him the Lord of all the universe. Many Christians appreciate Christ's incarnation. And some Christians appreciate Christ's resurrection. But not many understand and appreciate Christ's ascension. Actually, not only we appreciate the one who died for us, who came to become the Lamb of God, shed the blood to die in our stead, not only resurrected to become the life-giving Spirit, now he lives within us, but this very one today, in God's ascension, ascending him to the heavens, he is made Lord of all. Amen. He is made Lord and Christ. He is seated there on the throne of God, directing your environment. Our sister testified the job situation, our family situation, our country situation. Who is this? Who is the president of a country? God does not need your approval. He said, oh, I don't like him. I don't approve of him. Shut up. Christ is on the throne. Amen. He directs everyone. When I recognize this, I bow and I say, Lord, I zip up. Enough. Stop all my talking. Just say, Amen, Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Amen. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Amen. Every tongue shall confess. Amen. Confess what?
Jesus Christ is Lord.
Jesus Christ is Lord. When you say, Lord Jesus, you are not just calling the one you love. You're calling on the one who administrates everything in our environment. When you say, Lord Jesus, not only he is lovely, not only he is sweet, but he is righteous. He is just in carrying out God's divine administration. The Lamb, the Redeemer. In point D, every point D. According to the book of Revelation, the throne on which the ascended Christ is sitting is the throne of the divine administration. The Lamb, the Redeemer, the one slain on the cross for our sins, is now on the throne, carrying out God's administration over the entire universe. Christianity have the cross. They think Christ is still on the cross. They're saying in the Lord's recovery, by God's revelation, we see Christ today is no longer on the cross. He is on the throne. Amen. Of course, we don't negate Christ being crucified for us. We'll be forever grateful for that fact. But Christ did not just remain there on the cross. He resurrected and he ascended. Today our Christ is not just the crucified Christ, not just the resurrected Christ. He is the ascended Christ, the Christ on the throne of God, carrying out God's administration. Number two, the Lord Jesus has been enthroned to execute God's governmental administration in the universe. As the one enthroned as the heavenly administrator in God's universal government, Christ is the ruler of the kings of the earth. The affairs of the nations are under his rulership. Do you believe that? Russia is where it is because Jesus is Lord. Europe is where it is right now. Jesus is Lord. And you have to believe USA is where it is now because Jesus is Lord. There is someone who is ruler of all the kings of the earth. In God's governmental administration, Christ is the leader and the savior and the one who has the key of David. Only he is worthy. He has the key of David. Only he can open the door in Germany. He has the key to open up the Arabic-speaking world, to release all those refugees to go into Europe. For centuries, people tried to preach the gospel in that forbidden land. We could not get in. We could not do anything. Yet this one who has the key of David, he unlocked the door last year. Just last couple of years, released the floods of people. Get out, get out, get out. Millions of people fled into Europe, and many got saved. And even many of you, you came from China, you came from Japan, you came from Korea, you came from European countries. When you were in your motherland, you did not believe. But then this one who has the key of David opened the door, unlocked the door, get out! You came to America, someone talked to you, met you on the campus, someone spoke to you in the office, and your heart got softened because you were just got dislodged from your homeland. Your heart got open and you received the Lord. He is the one who has the key of David. Number three, if we would fulfill the ultimate responsibility in God's ultimate move, we need to follow the Lamb wherever he may go. This is Revelation 14. There were 144,000 standing on Mount Zion. These were the first fruit. These are the overcomers. One of the characteristics of these four overcomers as the first fruits is that they follow the Lamb wherever he may go. I love the Lamb. We'll be forever grateful to the Lamb. But now the Lamb is on the throne. The Lamb is leading us. We follow the Lamb wherever he may go. A says to follow the Lamb is to be one with the crucified, resurrected, ascended, and enthroned Redeemer. In his move to carry out the divine administration for the consummation of the divine economy, we all should follow the Lamb on the journey ordained by him. Saints, each one of us has been ordained by God a certain journey. We are all on a race. We are running on this journey. Paul, toward the end of his life, he says, I have finished my course. Paul realized that he had a course to finish. He kept the faith. He fought the fight. He finished the course. How about us? Saints, this is a personal matter. We all have been given certain years to live, certain life to carry out. There's a course. Have we ever asked the Lord, Lord, what is my course? How do you want me to run my course? We have some older brothers among us, and we have also some younger brothers. I appreciate, you know, seeing Brother Jim and this younger brother. You know, here's a brother who is 80 plus years old. And I don't know how old you were, but you are, you know, probably 18 or maybe not even that. Praise the Lord. Each one of us has a course. We have to ask the Lord, Lord, well, how do you want me to finish my course? You know, Brother Lee, Brother Watchman Nee has a little message called The Last Journey, the last part of the journey. which has been helpful to me very much. While Christ, after he fed the 5,000, he went up to the mountain to pray in his ascension, before he came to, before the bringing in of his kingdom. And here the disciples were in the stormy sea, and Christ was praying for us. And here the disciples were trying to cross over the lake, encountering the storm. And Brother Nee says, on our journey, as the day go on, it's going to be, the rowing is going to be becoming harder and harder. The contrary wind tempts us to return. Let's go back to the shore. And here, this ascended Christ came down. He came to, as if he was going in another direction. He went toward the disciples to encourage them. It's not time to go back. It's time to press on. There's a course God has assigned to each one of us, a journey. And not to say we are in the last part of this journey, a last section to this journey. Let our knees not be weakened, our hands not be drooping. May our spirit and our heart be awakened. Arise, my heart and my spirit. Just a few more miles. As Sister Barbara's hymn, right? Just a few more miles, beloved. All the pains will be over. Indeed, we can hear, we can see the Lord's footsteps. I have to ask myself before the Lord, even these days, I'm serving the Lord, but how do I just serve the Lord, just doing routinely, just doing, going here, going there? Lord, how do you want me to carry out my journey in these last days? May the Lord have mercy on us that we can also say the same thing as Paul. I finish my course. Finish my journey. It will be hard. There will be contrary winds. There will be storms. But we need the encouragement by this ascended Christ through his prayer for us, intercession for us. And we encourage one another, let's press on. Let's sail on. Let's finish. Let's go to the other side that we can bring in the kingdom. We need to seek out the journey that the Lord has ordained and faithfully walk on it, paying any price to wholeheartedly continue on our journey until we reach the end. Dear saints, these are days of endurance. I love when we were in the, you know, the orthodoxy of the church, the training we had with the church in Philadelphia. What was the charge there to the church? Hold fast what you have. Let someone take your crown. Keep the word of my endurance. These are days for us to endure. These should not be days for us to be at ease, for us to be complacent. We need to endure. We need to take in the word of his endurance. Hold fast what we have. We have been given so much. Don't let go. Don't become tired. Don't become weary. Hold fast what we have. The journey that the Lord has ordained for us is the race that is set before us. Okay, let's all read the last point, number 4. We all need to pray this for the Lord to grant us mercy. What is needed these days is faithfulness, endurance, and faithfulness. Now, I will just spend just a couple of minutes on message 5, which is just, I'm not going to cover the 4-page outline with you this morning, otherwise I'll keep you till tonight. Just very brief, the main point of this message is, as we are here, we want to respond to the Lord to carry out the ultimate responsibility. We need to do everything according to the leading, the working, and the speaking of the Spirit, honoring the Lord as the head of the body for his unique move and also being balanced by the body to be kept in the unique oneness. This move that we are talking about, to move with the Lord, whether to go to Europe, to Germany, this is not a movement. We don't have a movement. We are not for movement. But we do know the Lord is moving. He has an economy. This is a wheel that we saw. He is moving onward. And in the wheel, there is the spirit of the creatures. This move is of the Spirit of God. So we must be the people who know our spirit, who live in our spirit, who exercises our spirit, so that we can be engaged in the Lord's move. When we live in our spirit, we exercise our spirit to move with the Lord, there will not be a movement. Any movement of man does not need prayer. You just need to be organized. You just need a good planning. But with us, we need to pray. We need to exercise our spirit. So, we need to do everything. Now we encourage you to go, right? To move, consider Germany, consider Europe. Not because brother so-and-so asked you to do this. No, I don't know where you should go. I don't know what you should do. You have to pray. You have to go to seek the Lord. I remember in the 1985-86, I was really stirred, burdened by the Lord to serve the Lord full-time. Brother Lee was in Taiwan. I wanted to just move to Taiwan, simplify my life, and then join the training, join Brother Lee's leading there. Went to see Brother Lee, and I'm burdened to serve full-time. And Brother Lee just listened to me, and he just said, there's no need to do that. No need for me to go to Taiwan. But he didn't tell me what else to do. Then he just, at the end, walked me to the door and said, the Lord will lead you. That's all he said. And I went back home, back to square one, not knowing what to do, where to go. I thought Brother Lee would confirm my word and then will encourage me to go. But he just said, go home. The Lord will lead you. And here I am, now serving the Lord for now 30 years. And who led me? Brother Lee didn't lead me. The Lord led me. Amen. Every one of us, we must learn to follow the Spirit, follow the Lamb. Exercise the Spirit. We are not in a movement. Just like the teachers in Acts 13, those five teachers, they were praying, ministering to the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul. Every one of us, we need to go to the Lord. Should you be the one go to Germany? Should you be the one moving to a certain city? You have to be open to the Lord. Don't be settled in your own realm. Be open to the Lord. And also, we are all under the headship of Christ. Don't usurp the headship of Christ. Don't just assume. Don't tell others where to go. Of course, you don't want to be told, but you yourself don't tell others, I think you should go here. I think you should go there. You are usurping the headship of Christ. We are all here under the headship of Christ, and also we are here in one body. We are, when we have certain feeling, I have some burn to go to Germany. I'd like to fellowship with the brothers, fellowship with the saints I'm coordinating with. How do you feel? The body has to confirm. We don't have, there should not be your feeling versus the body has another kind of feeling. It cannot be two leadings. There's only one leading. There's only one head. There's only one Lord. So we will learn to coordinate in the body, be balanced by the body. Maybe the body feels, maybe you should, Brother James, you should slow down. You should wait a little bit longer. Oh, I'm urgent. I have a rush inside. You know, I'm ready to go. The brother said, well, maybe you should wait for another half a year. I need to be balanced by the body. Then my move will be covered, not an individualistic move. So at the end, everything will be kept in one accord. There will not be any kind of individualistic movement, independent movement, but this will be a move of the Spirit, a move in the body, a move in one accord. Then the Lord will be glorified. Dear Saints, I stop here on the practical note. Our brotherly always presented to us a practical way for us to participate in the Lord's move. Number one, we can pray. Surely, everyone can do that. We need to pray, both personally, corporately. Pray for the Lord's move in Europe to Germany, especially. That's urgent situation. Number two, we can give. The brothers are burdened to print many Bibles. I don't know how many thousands of copies, especially during the upcoming ITERO time in Germany, that there will be a week after the elders' training. We're going to spread the Bible to all the major universities in Germany. There needs to be the giving, in a timely manner, for the printing of the Bible. I think before the upcoming elders' time in April, end of March in Anaheim, the brothers would like to get the permission and also the funding to print Bibles ready for October. And also, we can go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everyone can go. You can go in different ways. You can go by short term, a few weeks, at least a month, 5 weeks, to go to participate, to preach the gospel, to shepherd all the new ones. You can go as migrants to move there for a few years. You can go as students to study there. Germany offers free education and quality education. So we encourage many young people to consider this, to study abroad, to spend a few years there. The Lord will use you as the gospel seeds to contact many Germans along with these refugees. These are the moves that we can all have a share with. I think Brother Ken, later on, we can put up some websites for you to follow, for you to get on, so you can know what's going on. There is a practical way for all of us to participate in God's move today. But we all must be under the headship of Christ, follow the Spirit, and in being in the balance of the body. Amen. I stop here.
James mentioned this matter of endurance. And before he said that, he either got my wavelengths or I got his. There are three churches in Revelation where the Lord appreciated the endurance of these three churches. He mentioned Philadelphia. The other one was Thyatira, which indicates there are saints alive today in the church in Thyatira who are enduring even under that system. And so this is a kind of a sober word, encourage you. Once John, Jim, and I were young people, and all the other brothers. I'm not sure their individual testimonies, but I speak for them as a person who was a young person. In my early teen years, I loved the Lord. Most of the time, I didn't know what I was talking about. But I loved the Lord, and the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Amen. But you don't end up being young people, but you have the life, we have the life-giving Spirit in us, which is eternally, what? Living. Right. And mature with all the riches of Christ in there. So we want to be found always in the Lord and in the body. But to the young people, I just want to say this. If we truly spend time with the Lord and look to His coming, even when we do a little, say something, we consecrate ourselves, the Lord will take us up on it. And so today, Ken will put some things on the board where we can go on, but maybe before the testimonies today, consider consecrating ourselves to the Lord regarding the matter that's been shared over these three meetings. Come to the microphone. Don't be bashful. Come to the microphone and say, Lord, I consecrate to be one with you in the divine move. Mingle with humanity, but the divine move, writing a divine history of which we are participants. December of 1954, I got some light from the Lord, and I consecrated myself to the Lord in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. In a raging storm, where many of the crew were calling on the Lord out of desperation. I arrived in New York and I contacted a brother whose name I got from the Fischbacher family in Glasgow. And it was Brother Grueler Sr. And that began the Lord leading me to where I am today. We brothers have participated in many churches, but we participated. We were with ones establishing churches. For me, it began in New York, went up to East Hartland, Connecticut, moved to Akron, Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, and I've been planted here for a number more years in Chicago, not long after the brothers had already migrated here. But we all had to make a migration. And we today all have to make a migration. Whether we move or don't move, we have to make a migration and follow this word. We older ones can pray. But I took German in high school. And so don't think the Lord hasn't been talking to me. I said, what are you going to do with that German? We didn't know who was going to win the war, so we learned German. True. Not exactly in those terms, but French and German. But the Lord has an interest. Now for the young people in college, how many of you like to take a year off, get a break? Many of the young people do that. Take a semester off. And out of some fellowship, maybe go check out Germany. Or wherever else the Lord has laid on your heart. So let's have in our testimonies today have some subjective experiences with the Lord in our sharing concerning our young lives. I was at 50, it was 55 where I had that consecration. I landed in New York in January 56 just to join another ship. But I was 19 in January of 56. And my career was in jeopardy at that moment, and I didn't realize it. It was over. The saints. I ended up leaving the sea and starting off in an office, worked for Miss Ventress. I got cabin fever and quit and started painting houses. And here I am in Chicago. How did I get here? By following the Lord in his up-to-date move. Through the sharing and fellowship with my fellow saints in the churches, and learning to take responsibility and the ministry that we have been so blessed to have. I thank the Lord that I live in this day. Amen. And we all should thank that. And so I just ask, do a little transaction now with the Lord. And Ken, do you want to give the things up first or after the sharing?
We can write them up now.
Right now. As he's writing them up, have a little prayer now with yourself and with your neighbor. Lord, I consecrate myself to what has been unveiled to me, these three meetings, to be ready and open to walk off the end of the earth and trust you. Maybe even, I'm not saying you should, I'm just saying maybe even temporarily put your studies on hold at the appropriate time. Many of us, when we migrated after it was revealed to us concerning the life, the sevenfold life-giving spirit in 1969, we dropped our jobs. I'm looking around here, many of us did that. And we traveled long distance, didn't have a job. Nowadays, all young people want to make sure they have a job where they're going. We just trusted the Lord, what? To populate churches throughout the United States. Amen. Now the Lord's desire is to populate churches. Elsewhere in the world, in the Arabic-speaking world, the door is open now to get into the Muslim countries. to some extent, what? Through people that have come out and maybe have to go back or to go to Germany to raise up the churches there. So I leave it there. Amen. Hand it over. Ken will put those on the board. But have a little prayer now, a minute, Amen. And then the brothers will tell us how to continue. But please come to the microphones and say, Lord, I didn't come here this weekend to be able to speak some other great truth. We have the truth. Amen. And we take it. Now we have to propagate it, take it out, and plant church trees. Amen? Okay, a little prayer.
Okay. He's going to, Andrew's going to put him up, and then I'll talk.
First, or not?
Pardon me?
Okay, it's up to you. Yeah.
So,
how do you feel?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Andrew's finishing putting those up. The first website, germany.liebenstrom.de, Liebenstrom. Liebenstrom. Amen. You have to know how to pronounce it before you apply. Amen. Okay. Okay, this is for applying for 5-week shepherding visits to Germany. There's a real need for in 5 weeks, in February, March, April, May, June, and July, for saints to go either to shepherd the refugees or to labor on the campus. Either one. If you have a burden to shepherd the refugees, amen. If you have a burden to labor on the campus, amen. But this website is for that. And if you apply, then the leading brother who you say, the leading brother in my locality, they'll get an email to share about their feeling about the application. They'll probably contact you to have fellowship before they complete the application. So the point is, it's in fellowship and coordination. So an application doesn't mean an automatic acceptance. So you need to apply, then there'll be some fellowship, and then the brothers will say, we feel good about it or we don't. And then you'll get a result from Liebenstrom. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. The next website, itero2017.amanatrust.org.uk. Okay, this is for, like Brother James mentioned, after the Itero in the October, there will be visits. Now, not only through Germany, but 8 countries around Europe, the Panned Out Bibles, gospel trips to 8 countries around Europe. In Germany, they'll be visiting 72 universities in 1 week to hand out Bibles. In 72 universities, isn't that awesome? Then there will be a conference in Stuttgart. And there will be a conference at the end of that week in each one of these 8 cities. All the details are on this website, and you will, if you ask, you'll get an email every time there's an update. There was an update March 2nd on that website. So you will regularly get updates. So in preparation, and applications are already available to go to some of the countries. There's a list of countries, list of dates, All the information is on that website about that time. But if you really want to participate in something of the Lord's move and you only have a week to do it, that's the time to do it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, then finally, lordsmove.org. If you want to emigrate to Europe, if you want to move there, that's the website. There's an application there for emigration. And we had a couple that emigrated there. The brother, his job was able to transfer him, but he still went through the process of fellowship. So we put in the application. We got an email about how we felt about his. We had fellowship with the brother and the family, finished the email, and they're now in Germany. They're now in Germany. He's working. They're very, very busy in Frankfurt. Very busy in the Lord's move. So these are the three websites. The first one is for visits. Second one is for the Itero visitation for 1 week next October. And finally, Lord's move if you want to emigrate there. Amen. Let's have some prophecies.